Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis 2, 18 through 24. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him." The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky, and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you are always with us. You have promised that you will never leave nor forsake us. There is no need to invite you into this space because you are the one who is ever present. It is we who come and go and who are prone to forget you. But you are always here, a rock of stability, where we can take refuge from the chaos and darkness. We thank you for the helpers you place in our lives, because you have declared that it's not good that we should face this world alone. We praise you for our friends and our family and the community of believers that strengthen us. Today on Pentecost Sunday, we praise you for sending us another helper when our hearts were troubled and we felt alone. O Holy Spirit, our counselor and comforter, fall upon us. When we don't know what to say, you are there. In our times of weakness, you provide strength. Open our hearts to recognize your presence in every moment of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So it was 10 years ago this summer that I was on sabbatical, and with my family, we had scraped together some resources and we had traveled through Europe, which I do believe that travel is just one of the best forms of education. So to take our kids to strategic places in Europe. And then the plan was that after we traveled Europe, I was going to send my family back to the States, and I was going to stay behind for a couple of weeks to study at Oxford University. So parents, have you ever had those crazy days when the kids are noisy and chaotic and lots of tears, and you just go, "I can't wait to be by myself"? Have you ever had those moments? I might be the only dad in the room who's had that experience, but there were a couple of times as we were traveling together, I just thought, I can't wait until they go back to the States and I can go and study and enjoy some quiet time. So that day finally came. I put my family on the train there in Oxford going to Heathrow Airport. And I remember kissing them all goodbye, and they got on the train. And as they pulled away, the train started moving in slow motion. And I realized that they were going off and I was now entirely alone. And I started jumping up and down. No, I did not really. That is a moment I have felt most alone in my entire life, as they left and I realized I am on this continent entirely by myself. I am alone. And I felt the weight of the words from that poet and prophet, Kenny Rogers. Everything is nothing if you got no one. There's a lot of truth there. So for me, that was just a momentary experience of feeling alone. And I've had several moments of those in my life, and I'm sure that most of us do. But for some of you here today, feeling alone is not a momentary experience. It is a constant agony. It is a constant experience. You experience it all the time. Okay. So what we're doing is we're looking at the Bible in 10 words, how each of these words by themselves, if looked at a certain way, they capture the story of the entire Bible. And so we have this word alone, which is a word that not only connects with some of you here, but it connects with some of you deeply right here. And the first time the word alone is mentioned, as Marissa just read in Genesis 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him." Now, we could talk about marriage today and what it means to be a helper and to be someone who corresponds to another individual. Mark Twain once said that "I am" is the shortest sentence in the English language, and "I do" is the longest sentence in the English language. No, you're not supposed to laugh at that, right? So we could talk about marriage, but we're going to actually expand out a little bit, because there's something embedded here in Genesis chapter 2 that we need to know. That the task of living was too much for one person to handle by themselves. In fact, in all the seven "it is goods" of creation, "it is good, it is good, it is good, it is very good," this is the first time where it's said, "This is not good." And not only is the task of creation bigger than any one of us can handle by ourselves, but it seems to function properly. For us to function properly, we need other people. We need relationships. Okay? So some people have phrased it like this, that we need to find our second self. That for each of us, there's someone or there are other people around us who are our second self, who not only like us or love us, but they understand us. So just a few years ago, a 10-year-old girl, Laura Buxton, in Staffordshire, England, she took one of those little luggage tags that you get at the airline booth, and she filled in her name and address. She attached it to a helium balloon, let it go, and it traveled 140 miles from her home in Staffordshire, England, 140 miles to Wiltshire, England, where it was found by a little girl. Now, Laura Stafford, she's the one who let go of the balloon. The little girl who found it was named Laura Stafford. They're both 10 years old. Both had Labrador retrievers, both had guinea pigs, both had rabbits, both had blonde hair. It was interesting that she seemed in that moment to find her second self, somebody who not only knows you, but who gets you. And after looking around at all creation and realizing that Adam was alone, God said, "This is not good." And so God created a helper corresponding to him. And here's my favorite line in Genesis 2. It's in verse 23. Where Adam looks at her and says, "At last, at last, here's somebody who gets me." So in Eden, what we have literally is paradise because of the relationships that are there. Man lived in communion with God, and humanity lived in community with each other. So it was as God intended it to be, relating to him, relating to others, no problems, no sin, but then sin was introduced to the human experience. And listen, sin is more than just breaking rules. Sin is breaking relationships. So what happens after sin is inserted into the human condition here, the man and woman no longer related like they used to. In fact, part of the curse was saying, "You know what? You're going to try to rule your husband, and your husband will try to dominate you." There was now suspicion and manipulation and maneuvering, and the two were estranged from each other. But not only were the man and woman estranged from one another, but they were exiled from the presence of God as they were sent out, as they were expelled from Eden. So all those relationships, the communion with God and the community with each other, it broke down, and humanity found itself again to be alone. So here's what I want to do today. Sin is a part of our lives, okay? Sometimes we don't know if there's another person out there in the world who knows us and loves us and gets us, right? Hopefully you found that, but maybe you haven't. But even then, there are two types of aloneness that we seem to experience in life. There are two types of isolation that we inflict upon ourselves that can be destructive and self-destructive. So there's a lot of different ways to be alone, but I'm going to talk about two in particular. Two ways of aloneness that we often choose that end up not being good for us. Okay? Here's the first one. Sometimes we use people to avoid God. Now, I don't know if you're like this or not, but many times people stay busy We run ourselves ragged to be around other people because we are afraid of being alone. And worst of all, we are afraid of being alone with God. And so it's very possible that we use other people to avoid God. We try to fill up our schedules to make our schedules so busy that we won't realize that our souls feel barren. Now, if you tend to be one of those people when somebody asks you, how are you doing? And you say, busy, I think you need to pay attention to this. It could be that you are using people to avoid God. That you want to be around the crowd. You want to be around attention. And then when people aren't around, you go immediately to social media. Now, there's nothing wrong with social media. But actually, I read a very interesting article in New York Times entitled, Don't Let Facebook Make You Miserable. Why? Because we compare our insides with somebody else's outsides. And sometimes social media will just make us feel more and more lonely. It's like drinking salt water. It looks like it will satisfy, but it actually becomes toxic after a while. So I've discovered that even good religious people can use people to avoid God. I read Exodus chapter 18 in a very different way than most people, because as a religious leader, you read about Moses. He's the judge over the people of Israel. Everyone's bringing their problems to him morning and night. And his father-in-law says, Moses, if you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out. I can hear Moses say, yeah, I'm tired, but I like being needed. I like being surrounded by other people. And it's so easy to become busy doing the work of God that you miss out on having a relationship with God. So I want to ask you very plainly, are you using people in your life to avoid being alone with God? My challenge to you is one day, just one day, shut it all down. TV, cell phone, social media. God, you and I are going to spend today together and see how long it takes you to become unhinged, right? So here's why we need to practice being alone with God. And here's a little bit of a cautionary note. If you fill up your life just with other people in order to avoid being alone with God, what may happen is someday you will be abandoned by other people. Okay, now I see this happen more times than I like to see as a pastor. I see a couple. The wife thinks that they're happy together, and all of a sudden the husband says, I'm moving on. He's gone. And the woman finds herself completely alone and betrayed. I didn't want this divorce. I didn't ask for this. Here it happened. And I am alone all by myself. And there's no foundation there to land on. Even if it's not a divorce, sometimes it's death. A man and a woman have been married 50 plus years. And the man says, I'm going to go first. But then she goes first. And now a man is there saying, what do I do with all these years that I have left? When we find ourselves abandoned by other people, it may be that you need the opportunity to practice forgiveness. I want you to listen to this part. This is good. Forgiveness is the name we give to love among people who practice love imperfectly. Forgiveness is the name we give to love among people who practice love imperfectly. If somebody's abandoned you, it may be an opportunity to forgive. But you also will discover in that an opportunity for new fortitude. That all of a sudden, all the people you've surrounded yourself with, they are gone. And now maybe for the first time in your life, you really need God. And I've heard people who have gone through those seasons of abandonment and they say, I never want to go through that again. God help me if I ever have to go through that again. But I'm so glad I did. Because for the first time in my life, I really had to depend on God. So this is one way to practice aloneness. One way to isolate ourselves is we can use people to avoid God. The other way that we practice aloneness, we isolate ourselves in a way that is destructive, is we can use God to avoid people. Now, I'm going to toggle back and forth here for just a moment. When we use people to avoid God, this is an extrovert temptation. Right? People who love being around people. I like to be in the crowd, surround myself with people. And we use people as a way of avoiding God. Introverts, though, tend to use God to avoid other people. So let me just do a little informal poll in here. How many of you in here in this room, you would consider yourself to be an introvert, that you don't mind being by yourself? In fact, you kind of actually like it. Let me see your hands. Okay. It's maybe 50%. There's probably more, but some of the introverts said, I'm not raising my hand. I don't want people to know that. Yeah. If you're an extrovert, let me see your hand. If you love being around other people, y'all are sick individuals. I don't understand you at all. I'm an introvert, okay? Now, I'm in an extroverted occupation, but naturally, I am an introvert. Let me give you a warning here, okay? I love being an introvert. I love spending time by myself. I love being alone with God. There's something about being alone with God that I can experience Him in a way that is much more real than anything else I experience in community. And there's a lot of biblical precedence for this. Jacob wrestling with God at Peniel before he meets Esau. He's alone with God. Hagar, when she is expelled by Abraham and put out in the wilderness by herself, she meets God in a way of provision that she never would have known otherwise. There's John, the Revelator. He is in exile on Patmos. And for the first time in 70 years, he sees his old friend and master, Jesus Christ, again. And he writes the Revelation. And even Jesus, at strategic moments in his ministry, was by himself to make big-time decisions. In fact, Emily Griffin said this, solitude is one way that we imitate Jesus. But those of us who love solitude need to be careful about becoming solitary. Okay? Because we can start saying things that sound really spiritual, kind of like this. Say, you know, I don't need to go to church. I can experience God just as much in my backyard or backpacking as I can in church. Or I don't need a community group because, you know, I've got all the friends I need out there. I don't have room for any more people in my life. Or we say, I've been hurt in church before. I've been damaged, and I don't need that. Now, the thing is, all those things sound really spiritual, but underneath, they're really selfish. Let's just call it what it is. It's selfishness. The way God made you and me is we need Him. We cannot use people as a cheap substitute for God, but God also made us that we can't use Him to avoid other people. We need hands and feet and hugs around our life. Listen, if you're by yourself, as an introvert, you say, I'm fine by myself. Yeah, you'll be fine alone until you realize you're not fine. You'll be okay by yourself until you realize you are not. We all need other people in our lives. So I just want to ask you that question. Are you using people to avoid God or using God to avoid other people? Don't go to either extreme. We need both. To recreate Eden in our own life, we need an intimacy with God and a community with other people in it. So let's say that you are alone this morning. Then when I talk about aloneness, or when you saw the worship folder today and it said alone, it's not something you just heard here, you felt it right here. If Jesus were to say something to you today, you who feel deeply alone, what would He say? I want to give you just two quotes from Christ. One is on the eve of His crucifixion. An hour is coming, and it has come. And He's speaking to His disciples. Each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus knew that He would experience abandonment by His closest friends. As He hung on the cross, Jesus also felt abandoned by God. Now, this is very important. Jesus was, in fact, abandoned by His closest followers, but He was not, in fact, abandoned by God. I believe God was fully present at the cross, more so than any other place on the planet in that moment. But Jesus was so overwhelmed by our sin being dumped on Him that He could not sense God. God was there, but He couldn't feel Him. So what would Jesus say to those of you who you have, in fact, been abandoned, and you even feel like God has left you alone? Here's what Jesus would say. Two words. Me too. For those of you who feel alone, He would say, I've been there. Me too. And do you realize what that means? It means that there is in the universe not only someone who knows you, not only who likes you and who loves you, there is one person in the universe who gets you. At last. I believe the person that all of our souls long for and long to meet is Jesus Christ. And when we finally stop using people to avoid God and stop using God to avoid people, we realize that we need both people around us and the power of God inside of us. At last, here's the one that you're looking for. Benjamin Kyle is missing. Benjamin Kyle also lives in Savannah, Georgia. Now, how can a person be missing and we know where he lives? Well, Benjamin Kyle is missing not because we don't know where he is, but he doesn't know who he is. About a dozen years ago, he woke up behind a dumpster of a Burger King restaurant. Clothes were gone, ID was gone. He had nothing to identify himself, not even his memory. His memory of his entire life was gone, and his entire memory is a mystery to him. He has some recollection of Indianapolis, Indiana. He has some recollection of going to school in Colorado. But outside that, all he knows is he's about 60 years old, and he chose the name Benjamin Kyle because it's the same initials as the restaurant in which he was found, Burger King. God help him. And he is in the world all alone. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to not know who you are or whose you are. Well, today, I want you to know whose you are and who you are. You are a member of the family of God. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you have a family bigger than what you could ever imagine. And when you invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you have someone who not only loves you, but who gets you and who wants to have you for all of eternity. It is not good for a person to be alone. And in Christ, we hear our souls cry, at last. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. Father, I pray for all the extroverts here in the room who are using people to run from you. And I pray for all the introverts in the room that we tend to use you in order to run from other people. So help us to stop isolating ourselves. Help us to find the ability in Christ to experience both communion with you and community with other people. Forgive us when we go to either extreme. For those especially in here in the room today who feel very much alone, would they hear those words that I believe come from your lips? Jesus, when you say, me too, that we are no longer truly alone. Friend, if you've never had that moment in your life where you've nailed it down and said, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord, you pray that to him right now. Jesus, you are Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. I want an eternity with you. At last, help us to find our true home in you, to know who we are and whose we are because of your gracious love for us. Jesus, thank you for that nail-pierced hand that reaches out to every one of us today. We pray this prayer and we surrender our souls to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.